Nothing compares to you. What a quote. What a quote. I know that was a funny joke Father Jerry told at the beginning, but that's the lives of so many people. They're going on a journey, they think it's the right journey, and they're the wrong journey. Outside of this room, so many people are lost. So many people are brokenhearted, and so many people are wounded. And this is why this service is so prophetic. It's so prophetic because we try to normalize preaching the gospel, normalizing praying for the sick, expectation of miracles and signs and wonders. And we really believe today that God's going to move. God's going to heal that broken heart. That's a prophetic word. People on here's got a broken heart. God wants to heal your broken heart. Amen?
Amen.
And I was thinking during the week, reading 1 Corinthians 12, and you've heard me saying this so many times before, don't speed read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, could you get that verse up for me? And everything we're trying to do is to try and bring back the power of the Holy Spirit to the Catholic Church. To bring back the power and the anointing and the expectation of healings and miracles and powerful preaching and teaching. The ministry of Jesus Christ was preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Proclamation, explanation, and demonstration. He came to start the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in your midst. They were the first words he spoke to them. The first ministerial words. The kingdom of God is in your midst. And where the king is, his kingdom is established. That's why we say it in our Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But for generations, for decades and decades, our church has ignored the Holy Spirit. Not just our church, but many other denominations have ignored the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it is better for you that I go. It is better for you that I go, because when I go, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And this scripture just jumped out the pages at me. I've read it so many times. I've preached in it so many times. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I do not want you to be ignorant. That word, ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant. Sometimes in our Irish vocabulary, we kind of use words the wrong way. And if you say somebody's ignorant, you kind of think he's a bit of a pain in the backside or whatever it may be. But that's not the true understanding of the word ignorant. The word ignorant means uninformed, uneducated. And the root word for ignorant is ignore. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Ignore means not to pay attention to, maybe listening, but ignoring, not paying attention to. And we've ignored the Holy Spirit for decades and decades and decades. And we have become ignorant. And Paul's pleading with the Corinthians church, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to ignore the Holy Spirit. We cannot ignore the Holy Spirit, because it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that miracles will happen in this place. And miracles and signs and wonders and healings were normal in the early church. Very normal in the early church. But can I say this prophetically? Can I say that? Let's let the unsaid be said. We have been so good in our church for devotion, piety, and ritual with no power. Devotion, piety, and ritual, but no power. No power, no Holy Spirit. But we're so good at devotion, piety, ritual. Are you coming against devotion, Terry? No. We need devotion. We need piety. We need ritual. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, it's just a form of godliness. The Bible says that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Have you got that one up? 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 says this. In the end days, many, many people, and he was talking about believers. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Many, many people will be so ignorant that they will ignore the Holy Spirit. And they will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. They will have a form. You got it there? I sent you five screens for five slides. Was it not? No. Anyway, I'll just quote it. There will be a form of godliness, but deny its power. That's what's happened for generations. We deny its power. And Jesus said to the early church, go in and wait till you receive power from on high. And then you will be my witnesses. I told you. Oh, did I? Okay. All right, I'll stand corrected. I'm going to check your video back later if I said that. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he's saying, turn away from such as these. And so many people for years and years and years in our church are saying, no, we don't want the Holy Spirit. We just want this devotion. We just want this ritual. We just want this piety. But we don't want this power. We don't want it. Remember last week I was talking to you about the now word, or the week before Helen was speaking last week. We talk about the now word. This is a now word, and the now word is always the original word. Repentance could be a now word, but it was always an original word. The new thing was always the original thing. This was spoken 2,000 years ago. They will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Brothers, I don't want you ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't want you uninformed, uneducated. He might as well have said that today. If Paul went into every parish today and said, listen folks, I don't want you to be ignorant of the Holy Spirit. Do you know about working of miracles? Do you know about speaking in tongues? Do you know about interpretation of tongues? Do you know about faith? They would just look at you. Most people would just say, what? So many people are still ignorant. And the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today, I don't want you ignorant of my power. I don't want you uneducated or uninformed with miracles and signs and wonders. There has to be an atmosphere of faith for the Holy Spirit to move among us, because the word of God said that God would confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and called them babies. You're just mere babies. You can only just take a wee bit of milk. You can't take much more. And that's the test of spiritual maturity, is your spiritual appetite. If you're looking at your watch all the way through Mass, there's a problem. Your spiritual appetite. There come a day when revival comes. We could be in here for days. It's happening in IHOP International House of Prayer. 24 hours a day of praise, worship, teaching, preaching, tag teaching. Preachers teaching for 10 minutes, then another preacher preaching for 10 minutes. All day long. There's a hunger and there's a desire amongst people for more. We want more, Lord, more of you, more of your power, more of your anointing, more of your healings. Jesus needed healings and miracles and signs and wonders for his ministry. Hebrews 2 says, and God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Where's it happening? But we've got devotion. We've got piety. We've got ritual. But where's the power of the Holy Spirit? And that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Don't be ignorant any longer. That pierced my heart when I jumped out of the pages at me. I've read it so many times. I stood and I went, I may as well say that again to the whole church. The Holy Spirit crying out to the whole church, don't be ignorant of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Get educated. But we want a devotion, piety, ritual, but we don't want the Holy Spirit. We don't want this praise and this worship and the singing in tongues, and that's normal. That was always normal from the beginning of time. Every day, the Bible says, God was adding to their number. He was confirming their word, and every day people were coming to Christ and their lives were completely transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Give me another scripture, Seamus. Romans 15. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders. There it's there. By the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have found the ministry of the gospel of Christ. The ministry of the gospel of Christ is proclamation, explanation, and demonstration. There's very little demonstration today in the church, and that's why the Holy Spirit is screaming that to us. Let me loose. But Pope Francis says, don't cage up the Holy Spirit. Don't cage up the Holy Spirit. There'll be a mess. I want a mess. Let there be a mess. When the Holy Spirit is let loose, he moves in power and anointing, and people's lives are transformed and changed. It's not the norm, and we're trying to cage him up and put him this way and put him that way and put him the next way. That's why we have to learn. The measure of your spirituality is based upon your appetite. So many people just can't last an hour, a couple of hours. But the early church, the Bible says they spent days with one another. What when Jesus preached that much, they were starving. He had to multiply the food all day. Half an hour mass, that's all it can take. Spiritual appetite. And the natural. You try and feed a baby a steak, just a wee couple of ounces of milk, just a wee couple of ounces of milk till it grows and grows. Then it gets into adolescence and it's like throwing buns to an elephant because they just eat. Any of you who get young teenagers, they eat and eat and eat. They want more and more and more and more. And it's the same spiritually. When you really know him, when you really know the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, you just can't get enough. You just can't get enough. And think about that and let that resonate with your spirit. We just can't get enough of him and his word and his ways and his praise and worship. I look forward to days we could just worship all day. I look forward to days we could just sit here in his presence and hear prophetic word, like just Nicola said. And prophetic word has gone all over the place, and the Holy Spirit just moves. And we're all just comfortable. We're not looking at a watch. We're just moving in the Holy Spirit. He's so desperate to move in our midst. And he's so desperate to see disciples being formed, disciplined ones, not come and go, yo-yo, now and then, maybe feel like it, Christians. This is missionary disciples. This is demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to teach us how to move with his Holy Spirit. Do you remember years ago, I was at a conference and this pastor stood up and said, and it really just touched me, the Holy Spirit has got a plan for every meeting. He knows every person that's here, that person with the broken heart. That's a prophetic word for you. That's how much he loves you. You're here with a broken heart. It could be a broken marriage. It could be a marriage that's almost broken. A broken relationship, family, child, nephew, niece, grandchild, whatever it may be. Holy Spirit just touching you with that prophetic word. That's why Jesus was so excited when the Holy Spirit comes. And he's been neglected for years. and years, and we've had baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we've had Life of the Spirit seminars, and for years and years, I had somebody during the week told me, somebody went to the priest and says, can we have the Life of the Spirit seminars? And he says, no, not in here. Don't believe in that. I remember in Charismatic Renewal in Scotland, when we were young, we went to a priest and said, Father, can we get the hall? Yeah, you can get the hall, but don't be speaking in tongues. And I says, Father, the Bible says forbid not the speaking in tongues. He says, where does it say that? He says, but don't speak too loud then. Do not be ignorant of the Holy Spirit. Don't be uninformed. You're here because the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. He wants to be let loose, and that's how we have to learn how to flow. How to flow with the Holy Spirit. What's he saying? What's he doing in the meeting? Does he want to sing a song? Does he want repentance? Or that broken heart, does he want it mended instantly? Do you remember a few months ago that woman was going to take her life at our conference? She committed suicide that day. She's on her way to a new life. Totally transformed and changed. Went to confession with Father Jerry. Her sins were absolved and she was totally set free. That's why we need that expectation in the church. That's why we need prophetic people like Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck and Maria Vadia to come and say, where's the happy Catholics? Remember Maria Vadia? Where's the happy Catholics? Didn't see any happy Catholics any longer. Get to most masses and people won't even look at you. Put their head down. Where's the joy of the Holy Spirit? Where is it? Where's the prophetic voices? I'm a prophetic voice. Sister Bridge McKenna says I was a prophetic voice, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Just in case you've got doubts. She says I was a John the Baptist. Sister Bridge. And the prophetic word is making the unsaid said. Helen did it last week. Unashamed. We are unashamed. The devil's putting shame on men and women all over this country, and many church people are full of shame and guilt. The proclamation went out last week. You don't have to be unashamed. Shamed any longer. You are unashamed. Why? Because of the cross. Because Jesus took your shame on the cross. You're set free. All of us are set free by the power of the cross. And so many people are ignorant of these things, and they don't know these things because they're still in religious thinking and religious practice, and Jesus came and set us free by the cross. You don't have to do it any longer. I'll do it for you, and then I'll give you my Holy Spirit, and I'll do it in you. I'll lead you by the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you power wherever you go. There'll come a day that we'll walk into the streets, and we'll start praying with people. There's a prophetic word. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Sometimes we're going to get into restaurants, we're going to say to somebody, I see you're hobbling there, can I pray for you? Maybe see somebody in the supermarket and say, I see you're struggling, can I pray for you? And God's going to move. And miracles will move. And miracles will happen. When we have that expectation, God's going to do something powerful here. Miracles are going to happen. Amen? Amen. But if we are uneducated, and we're ignorant of God's ways and how he moves, I'll go on for years. I'm going to say something maybe people don't understand this. The Holy Spirit's not moved by need. If God was just moved by need, he would just be moving in Africa and India where there's poverty. God is moved by faith. Faith moves the hand of God. And that's one of his ways. That's how he does things. He's looking for somebody with faith. Not need. A lot of needy people don't have faith. Not to say that God doesn't have compassion, but he's trying to raise up people like Mother Teresa and people like that can see the need and go in there and pick babies out of dustbins. He needs you and me to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit because God's moved by faith. And it's your faith that's healed you. You hear it happening and saying all over your Gospels. It's your faith that's healed you. The principles of being a fruitful Christian is, watch this, know so, say so, and do so. God's called us to have a know-so faith. We need to know the words. We need to know the scriptures. That's why St. Jerome says, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. You don't know him. You don't know Jesus if you don't know the words. You don't. You have to read the word, read the gospel, understand the way he flows, and then you get to know him. But so many people are stuck at the know-so faith. We've got a church full of know-so theologians. Know-so. But Pentecost was taken to the next stage with say so. Wait till you receive power from on high, and then you shall be my witnesses. Why? Because you will have the power of the Holy Spirit. Up until that point, they had no power, but they had the know-so. They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. What more catechesis do you need? 3.5 years with the rabbi of rabbis, but they're still all over the place. Peter's denying them. Jesus changes his name from Simon, which means reed. His reed means blow the wind. That's what his name means. Jesus says, you've got to be key for us. I'm going to change you to be a rock. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. He changes you. Do you know, next week I'm going to Walsham to preach on preaching. How to preach. Do you know what I'm going to tell the clergy there? You can't preach at that pulpit if you're not changed by the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel that will change your life. You have to change into another man. This is not Terry. No, this is Terry under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, reaching and imparting the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when King Saul was anointed, the Bible says he turned into another man. He turned into another man when the Holy Spirit comes. He changed. That's what happened in Pentecost. These guys were terrified. And what happened? The power came. Peter, Simon, this reed became the rock. From the reed to the rock. That's a teaching for you, the future. Helen, you can teach that one. From reed to rock. And God's always wanting to transform us. Transform lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Know so, say so. So they start to become say so Christians, speaking the word. The Bible says, let the redeemed. Oh, you Catholics, you don't know your scripture. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say. Yeah, you got that one. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. Say so. Not just know so, but a say so faith. That's why people who have got the know so need the power to become a say so. That's why a lot of people don't know how to witness. They don't know how to tell people Jesus. Why? Because they've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've never had that power to become a say so. But it goes further than that. Know so, say so. Some people just stay at the know so and they say so. Do so. James 1:22, have you got that scripture, Seamus? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Do what it says. It actually says this, do not merely listen to the word and be deceived. Do not merely listen to the word and be deceived, but do what it says. So when it comes to healing, you have to be a know-so, say-so, and a do-so to receive your healing. That's why I keep saying to people, act as though you're healed. Can you move that leg before? Move it. Can you walk that way before? Move that leg. Remember that boy Paul came up here and he couldn't move? Started to move his leg right away. God healed him. Know-so, say-so, do-so. And that's why we talk about so many times how to provoke a miracle. How to provoke a miracle? It's your faith. Did you understand when I said that earlier on? Faith moves the hand of God. Yeah. The woman with the blood issue, she had faith. How many other women needed that miracle? But they had no do so. She'd know so, say so, and do so. And that's where people get stuck, and they go, I never get my miracle. Did you say so? Did you speak to that sickness? Did you speak to the disease? Jesus said in Mark 11:22, whosoever shall speak to this mountain and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will be done for him according to what he says. Three times, the confession. Whosoever shall speak and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says. Three times he says it. Speak. Everything in God's creation reacts to words. And God said. And God said. And the Holy Spirit moved in what God said. So you want God to move? Speak his word. Get your scriptures. Speak over your life. Speak over your marriage. Get God's word. The Holy Spirit will move. And then act in God's word. Be a do so. The woman with the blood issue said. She heard. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the... So she heard the word of God. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And then she took a life in her hands. She was a woman with a blood issue. I'm not going to go into this, but it was a blood issue, woman. She was unclean. You don't touch a rabbi when you're menstrual. Don't touch a rabbi. You could get stoned for this. Wow, she could get stoned for this. But I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? When I do, I shall be healed. She calls things that be not as though they were. That's what the scripture says. Call things that be not as though they were. No, call. Don't call things that be. I've seen that before. People with broken legs. I don't have a broken leg. You've got a cast on your leg. I'm healed by faith. No, you've got a broken leg. Call things that be as though they were not. Call things that be not as though they were. And that's what happens. The power of the Holy Spirit. Be a no-so, say so, and do so. Amen.